Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to you to our Connect service this morning. And in our service today, we're going to be continuing to think about the theme of the kingdom of God. That's been our theme throughout this past year at our Connect services. And today, as we think about the kingdom of God, we're going to focus on the authority of Jesus. And as we think about his authority in the kingdom, we're going to be thinking in particular about that theme of authority in the kingdom. I wanted to mention just a couple of notices for the week that is to come. Hopefully you'll have seen them on your way in on the screen. But our worship continues this evening at 7 o'clock with a service of Holy Communion. And Andy will be back with us this evening. He's away this morning preaching in our neighbouring parish of St John's, Orangefield. And he'll be back with us this evening. On Tuesday evenings during the month of July and August, we have been focusing on some seminars that have taken place in the diocese, and they're all about the theme of church growth. And this week we're going to meet again in the coffee bar at 7:30, and we're going to watch a little video that has already been presented to the diocese, and it's on the theme of finding the presence of God in worship. So that's the theme, and we're focusing on these different themes every Tuesday evening throughout the summer months, and they take place up in the coffee bar. It's very informal. People just come along, have a look, and a little bit of a discussion about the video, and they're at 7:30 on Tuesday evening. Over the next few weeks, Pilates is taking a little break, so there's no Pilates this week, and there's no Wednesday service during July and August. But on Thursday evening at 7, parish prayer meeting takes place over Zoom. And if you'd like to be part of that, just ask us and we can include your email address in the invitations that go out. And next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, Holy Communion at 11, and next Sunday evening at 7, the service of Compline. But as we come into God's presence, we're going to worship together, and we're going to join together in our opening prayer, and you'll find it on the screen as we pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in worship and praise. We ask that you would bless our time together today, and that each person would be open to hearing your word and would respond in loving obedience. Amen. So as we welcome everybody, it's lovely to have some visitors with us this morning. I know some have come a long way to be with us this morning. It's lovely to see you. We're going to stand together as we sing our opening song, Come, Now is the Time to Worship.
Just as you want to wear.
We're going to stay standing now as we take a little moment to bring our lives before God and to say sorry to Him for those times when we've not been the people we would want to be. And we seek His forgiveness. We seek a fresh start as we bring our lives before Him today. Let's join in the responses. Father, you come to meet us when we return to you. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Jesus, you died on the cross for us. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Holy Spirit, you give us life and peace. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful Lord, grant to all your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And as we are assured of God's pardon and his forgiveness and his love for us, as we confess our sins to him, we're going to respond in worship as we sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us. If you'd like to take your seats, I'm going to invite Margaret Sloan to come and bring our Bible reading to us today.
The lesson today is from the Gospel according to St. Mark in the 6th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. He went away from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get all this? What is the wisdom given to him? What mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their disbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. And he called to him the 12 and began to send them out two by two and give them the authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, 'Where you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. And if any place will not receive you and they refuse to hear you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet for a testimony against them.' So they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them." Here ends the lesson.
So as we hear in that Bible reading about Jesus' authority, we're going to make our response by staying seated for our next song as we sing together, "Jesus Strong and Kind."
Come to me. No one else.
We're going to stand together now to affirm our faith in the words of the creed that you'll see on the screen.
We believe in God the Father.
We believe in God the Father,
from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named.
We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
If you'd like to be seated. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we ask that as we think about your authority in the world and your authority in the kingdom of God, that you would help us to understand a little bit more and to be obedient to live in the way you would want us to live. Help us to be open. Help us to learn. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So during this past year in our Connect services and in our home groups, we've been thinking a little bit about this theme of the kingdom of God. And we've been learning about how the kingdom of God is not a specific geographical place, but rather it is wherever in the world that people seek to do what God wants. And it's wherever people seek to introduce those values that would help people to flourish and to create a fairer and a more just world. And we've also said that in this kingdom, the kingdom of God, Jesus is the one who actually sets the parameters. And in his life, we see modeled what it is to be a kingdom person. And so today, for a few moments, I want us to think a little bit about authority. And to do so, I thought we might start with a little quiz, just to see everybody's awake on a Sunday morning, about authority figures. And so I'm going to ask you to identify all these people that are coming up on the screen. So we shouldn't have too much difficulty with the first one. Who have we got there? Which one? The third. Okay, I'm glad to hear you're with the right century. Okay, let's try the next one. We've got two people coming up, and they'll be coming up here in a little moment. And I wonder if you can tell me who they are as they come up on our screen. The drama's unfolding. It's still unfolding. Who've we got? Who've we got? We've got... So we've got... Who's the old guy and who's the new guy? Rishi Sunak is the outgoing Prime Minister and Sir Keir Starmer is the new one. So we've got two political figures there, one on his way out of power and one on his way in, and it all happens very quickly in our democracy, as we would have seen on Friday, where the removal van went and then the next removal van came in. But the lovely thing was it happened so peacefully and nobody was on the streets, nobody was protesting, and that's a great testimony, I think, to the legacy that our country enjoys. Who's next? These next guys you might find harder to identify, maybe not. Who have we got? We've got Mark Carruthers on the left. And we've got Jeremy Vine on the right. And again, these are two political commentators. If you stayed up to watch the elections, you probably would have seen those guys. Perhaps in the middle of the night, there might be some people who are keen and who watch it all happening overnight. Who are the next two that we see coming up? And they'll be coming now. We see the sort of the flags, and then we're going to see who they are. We've got Roy Keane, and we've got Gary Lineker. So depending on your TV channel of choice and your pundits of choice, we've got some pundits there from the European Championship. And who is the last person that we're going to see? It's Dr. Michael Mosley, indeed, the doctor to the nation, who sadly died last month on holiday in Greece. And I'm wondering, when we put up all those pictures of authority figures, why are we thinking about authority figures today? Well, I want us to think for a few moments about what gives people authority. And then I want us to think about the authority that Jesus has, which we heard about in our passage, which Margaret read for us a few moments ago, and how he used his authority as we continue to think about the kingdom of God. So when we think about all those figures that were in our PowerPoint, the first person we saw was King Charles III. And so when we think about King Charles III, some people get their authority through birth. And so King Charles was born the eldest son of Queen Elizabeth II, and by virtue of that fact, he became the king when she died. So King Charles gets his authority, I guess, by virtue of having been born into the royal family. Jesus gets his authority not from any human gifts, but because he is the Son of God. And it is God's power at work within Jesus that gives him authority and that enables him to preach and to teach with authority, to heal the sick, and then to go on to equip and to empower others to continue his work. So some people get their authority through birth. The next two people that we saw on our screen were the outgoing Prime Minister and the incoming Prime Minister. And when we think about those two figures, some people get their authority because people vote for them. And if we think about the old Prime Minister and the new Prime Minister, they actually got their authority from people like you and me, who make up the electorate. So people like you and me vote for the party, or we choose not to vote for a particular party. And if that person happens to be the party leader, they become prime minister. And when you become prime minister, it gives you certain powers, or it maybe requires you to make certain decisions on behalf of the country or to pursue particular policies. But when we think about Jesus, Jesus was often viewed with suspicion by the ruling authorities. He had a great popularity among the people, and maybe those who were in authority at the time, like the Roman emperor or the governor of the region where Jesus lived, they feared probably that he might have the power to instigate a political revolution. And so they were pretty suspicious and pretty nervous about any gathering where Jesus was present. And that's why when we look at Jesus in the Gospels, we see that he's constantly on the move. He sometimes used to teach in synagogues, as we heard this morning, but then even the religious authorities in the synagogues, the scribes and the Pharisees, they became nervous about his power. And so Jesus took to teaching in the open air. He sometimes went to teach in boats by the lakeshore. He went up mountains, or he went to any other open space where people could gather. So Jesus' authority came essentially from the people, rather like the outgoing prime minister, the incoming prime minister. It came from the people, but the ruling authorities were nervous about him. A third reason why some of these figures have authority is because of their experience. And if you remember, we saw Mark Carruthers and we saw Jeremy Vine on the screen a few moments ago. And both of those men, as journalists, have served their time in newspapers, on radio, and on television. And in the course of their respective careers, they have interviewed leading figures from the world of politics and public life over decades. And so when the election coverage is broadcast, as it was at the end of last week, we feel pretty confident that Mark Ruthers and Jeremy Vine are the kinds of people who will ask the right questions of the analysts and help us to understand the significance of what we see unfolding because of their experience in the world of journalism. And by the same token, whenever we see figures like Roy Keane or Gary Lineker discussing football matches, we know that they know what they're talking about because both of them have played at the highest level. They've both represented their respective countries at major tournaments. They've played all sorts of games in all sorts of competitions for their clubs during their playing career. And so they know what the pressure is like in these big games. And they know what players should be doing, both when they have the ball and when they don't have the ball. And they know when things ought to change, or they know when things are going well. And that's because of the experience they both have as former players and professionals. I might love football, and I might talk a great game from the armchair, but actually I have no idea about what it would be like to play in a major tournament or the pressure that goes with that. I might say, well, it looks really easy for me to do this or that or the other thing, but it's not actually maybe as easy as I think it would be in that circumstance. When we think about experience, Jesus had very powerful things to say to the human condition because he became one of us. John's gospel tells us the Word became flesh and lived among us for a while. And as Jesus lived among us as a human being, he experienced the whole range of human emotions, joy and sadness, loss, friendship, betrayal. And it's not like Jesus stayed removed from all of these things. Jesus knew, as we were told in our gospel reading, what it was to work as a carpenter. And those in his hometown couldn't believe that this seemingly ordinary man could be the Son of God. It's like they underestimated him. When I was a student, I shared a house with a girl who became the chief training pilot in Aer Lingus, not a popular airline at the moment. But at that point in her life, she studied electronics, and she found it hard to get out of bed for her lectures. But when she found the thing that she loved, it transformed her, and she became the highest of high achievers. I wonder, does Jesus sometimes seem so ordinary to us that we fail to recognize his authority and to see that he is the Son of God? The last person we saw in our pictures was Dr. Michael Mosley. And Dr. Michael Mosley became the doctor to the nation through his writing, through his work on radio and television, through his podcasts. And he was somebody who had that ability to distill great knowledge and learning in an accessible way to the public. And through his books and his presentations, ordinary people learned about really important things to do with our health. They learned about intermittent fasting, about gut health, and how it was possible, even through our diet, to reverse type 2 diabetes. And Michael Mosley used these platforms that were available to him to equip and to enable other people, ordinary people like you and me, to take actions that could actually transform our health and our lives. And when we think about Jesus and his authority, Jesus lived a cross-shaped life. And so his authority wasn't about swaggering about as the most important person in the room, but his authority came about through serving others. And in our gospel reading, we heard about how he equipped his disciples to go out in pairs, and he shared the importance of moving away from a self-centered life to a God-centered life. And so compelling was his teaching that he was able to equip other people to do the same thing. He spoke about these things. He brought other people with him on his journeys. And then he sent them off to do the same. He was filled with the Spirit of God that enabled him and empowered him to bring healing and peace and hope to broken lives. But he realized that he couldn't do it on his own. And so he chose his ordinary followers to go out in teams and to share that knowledge, that power, with others who hadn't yet heard. And that is how the kingdom of God gets extended. And that's where you and I come in. Because you and I, too, can pray for other people. We can tell other people about the difference that Jesus has made in our lives. And we can invite other people, if they would like to know him, that it's possible to know him. And the authority comes not from us, not from other people's approval, not from any sense of achievement or success that we might have enjoyed. It comes rather from God himself. Amen. So as we think about that authority, let's stand to sing our next song, which is a song that speaks of his authority right throughout the world. You're the Word of all creation.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the authority that you give to us as your followers. We thank you today for your presence, for the gift of your Holy Spirit, and for how our lives and our actions can speak to others of your love. And so we pray today very simply for confidence in your power. Help us to live humble, simple, unapologetic lives that declare to those around us that we've found hope and purpose in following Jesus. And we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We pray for the nations of the world this morning, and we pray for all nations that seek your guidance at this time. And we do give thanks today for the democracy that has been passed on to our own land. And we thank you that as power transferred on Friday from Conservative to Labour in our own government, that transition happened peacefully and respectfully, and people's votes and wishes were freely made and counted. So we do pray today for our new Prime Minister and for his government. We ask you to help them in all of their responsibilities to make good decisions for the benefit of all people. We ask you too to be with all our own political representatives elected from this province to serve as members of Parliament. We pray that you would be with them as they undertake those new responsibilities. And we pray too for those who were disappointed and weren't elected. And we pray that they too would know your presence and your peace in their lives. And we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We pray this morning for the sick and the poor and those who are in any kind of trouble. We ask you to be with those known to us who are experiencing difficult times with their physical or mental health. Lord, we ask that those who are in our thoughts and on our minds would know your peace, healing, and love at work in their lives today. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers this morning for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. During our next song, we're going to be receiving our offering, as we are reminded that no matter what the circumstances we go through, God's presence will hold us fast. He will hold me fast.
Thank you.
As we prepare now to go out into the world, we're going to pray together a prayer in which we ask God to walk with us into all that lies ahead of us in the week that is to come. We go into the world.
We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives as well as our worship be always pleasing in your sight for the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And we bow our heads for God's blessing. May the God of hope, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is one, give us the authority to love and to serve in his name. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Our closing song this morning is Rejoice, Rejoice, Christ is in you.